Turn over to Genesis chapter 12. There we go. Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I pray to bless the reading of your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And as I was studying here in Genesis chapter 12, and I was looking at this, passage, and trying to figure out, and you know, how the Lord would have me to preach this portion of Scripture, I had a tough time getting my mind on the message. I just went to a funeral here this last Tuesday, and I had my mind kind of on this funeral and on a man by the name of Bill Logue. And Bill Logue, he was a man. He was in his 60s. He got diagnosed with cancer about 3 months ago, and he had passed away just this last Wednesday, not 2 weeks ago. And Bill played a role in starting this church. In fact, he lived down here for a while, and he brought me down here and helped knock doors, helped find a place for us to meet, which we originally met in the Nypin Trade Center. And he taught me a lot, encouraged me in starting the church. And he gave me his testimony, how he got saved, and how he got saved when he was older, after he had left the military, and he had gotten saved. He spoke of many years of his life that he did not live for the Lord. He spoke of years that before he was saved, and he spoke of it as being wasted years. And he taught his children. One of his children, a pastor in Deposit, Pastor Steve Logue, and I taught them to basically not do what he had done in his life. Taught them to serve the Lord. And he just didn't just tell them that, but he did that as an example. Like Abraham said, he commanded his children after him. And that's what he had done. Bill, he ended up working a job here in this area in Pennsylvania at Procter & Gamble, where he attended church over at Open Bible Baptist Church in Johnson City. And my father had known him from the past. In the past years, he had gone to his church. And so my dad asked him if he'd come over and be the assistant pastor at his church. And if he did that, he would take quite a bit of a pay cut, but he decided that he would like to do that. And he told my dad, he goes, I could retire in 10 years, He goes, and then I could come to your church and be able to serve when I'm retired and just serve the Lord for free. And many people say, when I get to a certain age, I'll do that. However, many times people retire, then they're too tired to be able to put in that work. They don't have the strength that they once had, and he told him that, and he goes, I don't even know if I'm going to live that long. Well, he would have retired a couple months ago. He just turned 66 or whatever, 65, and so he would have never been able to come and given all of his time and his strength to the Lord. And he made the right decision. He went and was served on staff at Bucks Row Baptist Church, where he had was a big part of starting many churches, and so he had done that. And I thought about that as I was preparing this message. I thought about time that we waste. In fact, it was just on Thursday, I got a call from my father, and it was a, he called me up and told me that a guy that my wife went to high school with, a guy that I went to Bible college with, had lost his life. You know, he's 29 years old. You know, he had lost his life, and it just, you know, this was all in my mind, thinking of, you know, Marlene Tubman Forrest had just passed away, Brother Gordon's wife passed away, and think about how precious life is, that we don't know, you know, how long we're going to be here. Life is but a vapor, appears for a little time, then vanishes away. That we're only here for so much time in this earth that we need to give our lives to the Lord. My prayer for this morning would be that you would consider the time that God has given you on this earth and invest it in something that matters. You know, most people invest their lives into things that really do not make a difference when it comes to eternity. You know, do you think anyone cares about, you know, when your body's lying in the casket? You know, it doesn't matter how good you were at playing golf. You know, it doesn't matter about how big your house was, or how much money you had made, you know, or how good you were at fantasy football, or any of that. None of that stuff matters. You know, what kind of clothes that you wore. I was watching, they got this show, and maybe you've seen it before. It's American Pickers, and these guys, they find people with just a bunch of junk in their yard, and they go through and find antiques and things like that, and they sell them, you know. And these guys, they'll have like 10 buildings of just trash in them, you know. And they'll look at a little sign, they'll be like, hey, is this for sale? And they're like, no, I want that. I want to keep that. It's like, it's rusting. It's worth nothing, pretty much, you know. But, you know, and they remind them, they go, you know, you can't take this with you, you know. This isn't going to go in your casket, you know. And a lot of people, they invest all their time and their money and their talents into things that don't make a difference. I've never been to a funeral where people, you know, where I've heard someone say, well, this man was a great man because he made a lot of money. Or he was a great man because he had a big house, or he was good at sports. But I've heard people, in fact, I've heard it just this last week, people testified of their father because they invested their lives into their children. They taught them how to serve the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us not to look on things of earth, but the things that are in heaven. He tells us to invest in glory. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. You know, it talks about, you know, seek ye the things of God. It tells that don't store up your treasures on this earth where moth and rust and thieves can break through and steal. He says, set your treasure up in heaven. And how important that is, because we don't know how long we're going to live. I think of the rich man, you know, the parable that Jesus told the rich man over in Luke chapter 12. And he said, says, thou fool, consider. You know, he tells him to consider these things. Tells him because all he can think of the things of this earth, and he's storing up bigger barns. But he says, thy soul is required of thee. Now, the message that I preached this morning is mostly for those who are saved. They are children of God. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they've done that by faith. The Bible says we become children of God by faith. In Galatians 3:26 is for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You know, by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's how you become a child of God. You know, we're not just, you know, everyone's not born a child of God. There has to be a moment and a time in your life that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, this is the first thing you need to do before anything else matters, you know. Before you go, because I know there are people that I talk to all the time, and they pray. You know, they say, "Oh, I pray all the time," but really, your prayers don't make a difference until you take that time to accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, until He becomes your Father. You know, here we're going to look today. We'll look at a man by the name of Abram, his name is changed to Abraham. Abraham is known as the father of many nations. Abraham is a man that God promised that He would bless him and bless his children, and that his children would be as the stars of the sky or the sand of the earth. In Hebrews, we find that Abraham is called a friend of God. Abraham's known for his faith. In fact, if you recall in Scripture how Abraham had taken his son Isaac and he was going to sacrifice his son Isaac in obedience to God, believing that God would raise his son from the dead. We find he was known as a man of faith. Now in the beginning, Abram was first introduced to Scripture. We find his calling. And that's what we just read. We read Abraham's calling and how God calls him to leave his family and his home to a land that he said, I will show thee. But instead of completely obeying God by faith, he ended up wasting some time of his life in Egypt. So I'm going to talk this morning about how we can prevent wasted time. First thing, let's look in verse 1. It says, Now Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Here we find that God calls Abraham, he calls Abraham to do three things. We'll look at the way that we can prevent from wasting years is obeying God's call completely by faith. So God tells Abraham, he says, I want you to do three things. And one thing was he wants him to leave his home. He wants him to get away from his home. And then he also says to separate from his kindred, from his family there. And I don't believe he's talking about his wife, but he's talking about, the rest of his family, his parents and his other relatives. And then he tells me, I was going to go to a place that I will show thee. Go to a place. He didn't even know where he's going to go. He said, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your home. And I want you to go somewhere where you don't know where you're going to go. I mean, that's a lot. Could you imagine if someone said, I want you to leave your home, leave your family, and go somewhere, that I'll show you where to go. And so he was asking him to do something by faith. God was asking him to obey by faith. And he said what he'll do is that he'll bless him. He wanted to leave the comfort of his home, a family. He wanted to become a stranger, a pilgrim, and to go to a place where he had no idea where he was going to go. God was asking him to follow by faith, not by sight. Well, does Abraham obey God? And does Abram, should I say, I'm going to do that all through the sermon and say Abram and Abraham, so don't worry about that. But does Abram obey God? Well, he kind of does. He doesn't totally obey him. What do I mean by that? Well, we find that Abraham, that he brought his nephew Lot with him. He brought Lot with him. So he didn't, he took someone with him. And as I read and studied and tried to figure this out, I didn't find a whole lot of things to back me up on this. But look over in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7 in verse 3. He says, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans to dwell in Charan. From thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. So we find that it said that when his father was dead, that's when he had moved. And if you looked over in back in Genesis chapter 11, it's in verse 32, it says, And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Actually looking back in verse 31, it says, And Terah took Abraham his son and Lot, his son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son's Abram's wife, and they went forth with them to go from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. Now, as you read this, you hear this man, which is his father, his name is Terah, which is T-E-R-A-H. And that name, it means delay. The name itself means delay. And so, like I'm saying, I don't have a whole lot of background on this, but as a lot of commentary suggested that, you know, he didn't leave until after his father had died, and some say it could have been up to 5 years. I don't know where they get that number from, but I mean, it seemed to make sense in the fact that his name was Delay, and this may have caused Abram to delay some time before he left. But either way, we find that he brought Lot with him, and he finds that up being some trouble for him in the future as the herdsmen get in a fight and all that, you know, and one goes to Sodom and Abraham stays there. But we find that God calls Christians to live by faith, walk by faith and not by sight. Think about it. As Christians, we serve a God that we've never seen. All right. You know, we place our trust in Jesus Christ, that He came and died on the cross for our sins, which we weren't there. And we're praying that God saves us from our sin so that we don't go to hell, which we've never seen. So everything is really, we're doing everything by faith. We're trusting Jesus Christ by faith. We're trusting to save us from our sin. And it's all by faith. It's not by sight. God calls to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God in Matthew 4:4. He says every word we're to live by. God calls us to live a sanctified, holy life, set apart, so we can be used and blessed by God. We look, that's what Abraham did. He had to separate himself. He had to separate himself from the others. He had to separate himself, and you'll read later that place in which he had separated himself, where they were, you know, involved in some pagan worship, and he had separated from them so he could be used by God, that God would be able to bless him in a great way. It was unquestionable faith and dependence upon the Lord, upon the Word of God. That's what God calls us to do. Look over in verse 7. It's interesting to notice here in verse 7 it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." So we find that that Abram, it wasn't until he obeyed God, it wasn't until he moved where God would have him move and go where God would have him to go by faith, till he heard from God again. You know, he didn't hear from God in between then, according to what we read, at least, you know, that God, he didn't have communion with God up until he had obeyed God by faith. You know, it seems to me that Abraham was told to separate, but it seems as though he had delayed. Whether he delayed because he's waiting for his father to pass away, but he didn't hear from God until he had obeyed God. You know, but when he did, we find that he had communion with God. He set up an altar in verse 8. He began to worship God. You know, we're wasting our time. Yeah, I remember I was in Bible college. This guy, he preached a message. And I always remember the name. He says, prayer can be the biggest waste of your time. You know, and you, all of a sudden you hear that and you're like, what are you talking about? And he started reading these scriptures, and he read one scripture. He read in Proverbs 28:9. He says, "And he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." And he says, you may be wasting your time praying if you're not obeying God, if you're not listening to God, you know. And so many people, they have all these prayers that they're praying to God. God, I want you to do this for me. I want you to do that for me. I want you to give me this. I want you to take care of the situation I'm in my life. Meanwhile, they're turning their ear away from the law. Meanwhile, God's telling them to live, you know, a holy life, a sanctified life, but they continue to live, you know, contrary to the Word of God. But then they're saying, God, He's not answering my prayers. Well, of course not. Your prayers, according to the Word of God, He says, are an abomination. That's saying that they're vile in His sight. You know, if you're doing your own agenda rather than God's, you know, then you're wasting your time in prayer. We find that here it wasn't until Abraham, till he obeyed God and he followed God, till then God appeared to him and he set up an altar and prayed to God. In Psalm 66:18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you're holding sin up in your heart, if you have sin in your life that you are not repenting of, and you're just holding on to that sin, you're regarding it, you're holding it close to you, and the Bible says that your prayers will not be heard. I mean, he'll hear them, obviously, he hears everything, but they're not going to be responded to in the way that he would of his children following the Lord. So first we have obedience of faith, and then communion and worship. You know, you need to obey God. You're never going to grow in the Lord until you take that step of obedience. You take that step of obedience of faith. In verse 9, it says, "And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." You know, the second thing I want you to notice is to prevent wasted time in your life. First is obey God completely by faith. Second is always look to God. After Abraham built this altar, we read that a famine had come in the land. And because that famine had come, the Bible says that he went to Egypt to find relief. Now this doesn't seem like a bad thing. You think, well, of course, you know, a famine, there's no food. Of course, go find some help. But it's not what he did, it's what he did not do. You know, he didn't look to God for direction. Remember, God told him to go to a land that I will show you, that he should have been seeking God's direction wherever he went. God's going to take him to land that will show him, and so he ought to be seeking God's direction. Where God would he need to go back to that altar and begin to pray to God? You know, we think about how Joshua, how they got defeated in the battle of Ai, you know. And the reason why is because Joshua didn't seek the Lord and said, how do we defeat these men? How should we go at it? And he would have let them know that, hey, there's sin in the camp. There's something you need to take care of first. Well, same thing as Abram, that he didn't seek the Lord and where he was to go, and he found himself going down to Egypt. You know, when it came to this famine, the proper response would for him to go to the Lord and say, where should I go? And I believe it was God's will for him to stay there in Canaan. And we'll see that here in a moment. You know, when we go through trials, many times we act just as Abram did. We fail to seek the Lord and obey him by faith, but we look and depend, rather than looking, depending on him, you know, rather than seeking his face, we kind of go our own way. You know, seems the only faith that we have is when there are no trials. You know, we only have faith when there are no trials in our life, but as soon as the trials come, then we lose that faith that we had. Rather than what we should do is when we go through trials in our life, that's when we are to endure. That's when we are to stay and stick with it. And I think of in the book of James, it talks about how, you know, that he counts it all joy when he falls into diverse temptations, you know. Because he says out of those trials and out of those temptations and out of those battles and out of that testing, he says it's going to increase your faith. That you're going to have greater faith and you're going to be able to understand it. I mean, when you go through those trials, rather than bailing on God and running from God, when you stick with it and continue to serve and continue to live for the Lord, that's when that victory comes. Yeah, we notice what happens to Abram when he goes down to Egypt to find relief over in verse 11. It says, "Came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he saw that Sarah his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive." So we find this is a story, you know, where Abram he goes down to Egypt to find relief, and he's afraid that if he says, this is my wife, then they'll take his wife and they'll kill him. You know, so instead, what does he do? He says, no, this is my sister. And it is, it's his half-sister, you know, but this is not, you know. And so he says, so he's trying to save his own life. But what happens is that oh, this is your sister. So Pharaoh took her, but then God, you know, caused a plague upon Pharaoh and his house. And we read that, you know, that he, and so then Pharaoh comes before Abram and he tells him, he says, And he tells him, why hast thou done this to me? It says in verse 18, it says, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so that I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. You know, so here the great man of faith, Abram, you know, he's obeying God and following God by faith until all of a sudden the famine came. Then he forgot about following God. He forgot about what he was to be doing and going to land that I will show thee. And he goes down to Egypt. And one thing after another, you know, when you get out of God's will, all of a sudden you make bad decisions in your life. You know, it's just one bad decision after another. You wonder, why am I in the situation I'm in? Because the first decision, he didn't seek Lord where God would take him. Then he went to Egypt and he lied about her being his wife. You think he would have had the faith to say, you know what, God's going to take care of me in this situation. I'm following God by faith and I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say exactly what she is, but he didn't. So then we find what happens in verse 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from south, even to Bethel, and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So what happened? He went to Egypt, and then he left, got kicked out of Egypt, got sent away, and he went back to the place where, you know, where he originally was. He went back to the place where when he was following God, where he had communion with God, where he was with God. And it seemed to me that he wasted his time in Egypt for a little bit. You know, he went down there and where he shouldn't have gone to the first place, and God brought him back to that altar. You know, God wants us to, you know, when we go through these storms, we are to trust God in every area. You know, when the famine comes, when the trials come in our life, that we are to just look to Him and seek Him. Last I want you to notice is we need to stay out of Egypt. Stay out of Egypt. You know, if you want your life to count, if you want to stand before God one day at the judgment seat and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you want to make a difference, if you want to invest your life into something that matters and something that's eternal, then we need to stay out of Egypt. Now, when I say Egypt, I'm not talking about Egypt, obviously. I'm talking about what Egypt represents in the Bible, you know. And if you do that study and you look to Egypt, you know, Egypt is a type of the world, is a type of bondage, a type of sin. Think of the example I'm going to give you is Israel. They were in bondage for 400 years under Pharaoh. They were in bondage there in Egypt. And we find they weren't set free until, you know, Moses came and said, "Let my people go." And it was that 10th plague, was a death angel, that's when God instituted the Passover. When they took the blood of the lamb, they placed it on their doorposts. And we find that death angel came. He said it passed over them. And then Pharaoh, he let him go. And we find they were delivered from bondage, and we believe it's delivered from bondage as the, you know, because of the Lamb of God. You know, it was a picture of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And then they went over, and they went out of Israel. Israel got across the Red Sea, and God told them to spy out the Canaan land, or the Promised Land, the land that flows with milk and honey. And they went into that land and they began to search out that land. They came back, the 12 spies came back, and 10 of them, right, had a bad report and said, "Oh, they're giants. There's no way we can overcome. There's no way we can defeat them. That we're grasshoppers in their sight." That's what they said. But we find that they were afraid. And what'd they say? Over in Numbers chapter 14, in verse 3, it says, "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. You know, this isn't the first time they said. They also said it when they got across the Red Sea and they wanted water. And they said, oh, you brought us here to thirst, to hunger, to death. You know, they said, we had it better in Egypt. We had it better back there. They forgot that in Egypt they were in bondage. They forgot in Egypt that they were slaves. You know, they began to speak good of Egypt. And, you know, the place that they were in bondage. Although God had delivered them, as soon as they went through a testing and a trial, they wanted to return to their old life. They wanted to go back, you know, to Egypt. Now what happened? Because they didn't trust God, they didn't have faith in God. You know the story goes. What happened? They didn't trust God to be able to go into the promised land. Instead, they wandered for 40 years. They wasted 40 years just wandering around doing nothing. Because they didn't have faith in God. Because they didn't just obey God. God said, I'm going to give you this land. Instead of them going in the land and taking the land that God was going to give them, they wandered around in the wilderness. You know, Egypt is a place of bondage. Egypt, what causes us to waste our life and waste time, it's a bondage of sin. You know, when you can't seem to place your faith in Christ during those trials, you know, what happens? You end up wasting your time in Egypt. You know, the same thing, we got saved by the blood of the Lamb. We got saved from the bondage of our sin. However, many times in our life, when we go through trial, we turn from God and we're like, man, I'm going to go back to Egypt. I'm going to go back to Egypt and I'm going to go back to my old ways. I'm going to go back to how I lived before. For, hey, God's delivered you from that life. God's delivered you from Egypt. He said, you need to continue, just continue to follow Him and seek Him for the direction of your life. Most of my life, you know, I spent in Egypt. You know, I got saved as a child, but somewhere along the line I went back to Egypt. And although I was delivered, just like Israel, I wasted pretty much all of my teenage, you know, life. You know, my high school, pretty much all the time that I had in high school where I could have been impacting the lives of my classmates. I could have been reaching others. You know, I wasted that time. You know, I didn't invest in things that were eternal, things that mattered. I invested my life in temporal things, in myself. And one day when I stand before God, I know that I'm going to stand before God one day at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to look back at my life. I'm going to look back and whether it's on a big screen or whatever, however it's going to play out, you know, and it's going to show, here, you got saved this age. And all through your high school and all through, show me my wasted the wasted time, the wasted years, when I could have been living for God, I could have been serving God, but I didn't. You know, I think it's going to be a time where I'm going to be weeping before the Lord for the time that I have wasted. You know, what about you this morning? You know, you may be in Egypt right now in your mind. Maybe you're not following God completely by faith. Maybe you're not depending on Him. You know, it doesn't matter what trial you're in, you understand that, hey, God can take care of it. You know, all of a sudden, Abram didn't think God could take care of the famine, you know, and so he didn't seek the Lord. You know, whatever your trial is that you're going through, you need to realize, hey, God can take care of it. We need to go by faith. You know, when you die, it won't matter how much money you have, how many friends you have. The only thing will matter what you did for the Lord. You know, what did you do for the Lord? You know, what are you doing with the time that God has given you right now? If you're saved today and you know for sure when you die you're going to heaven, then it doesn't matter. You're not thinking of heaven or hell. You're going to go to heaven when you die. But God has saved you and He saved you to serve. He's allowed you a certain amount of time in your life and you need to give that time to God, to serve Him, to impact the lives of your family, to impact the lives of your neighbors, your friends, whoever it may be, that, hey, this is what given us. He said, don't go back to Egypt. Don't waste your time doing something that really doesn't matter for eternity. Invest your time in the Lord. You know, invest your time in things that matter. You know, often it's tempting, you know, when you're going through trials to run from God, to go to Egypt, to find relief in Egypt. You know, but that's never the answer. You know, you're just going to go through another trial, and then you're going to end up back to Bethel, or back to where you began. You know, if you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know for sure when you die you're going to heaven, you know, you need to make that decision. Repent and trust Jesus Christ, Him alone, for your salvation, that you don't know how long you're going to be here. That's a decision that needs to be made. You know, I had opportunity to lead a woman to the Lord yesterday. You know, in fact, got a phone call and said, "Hey, I want you to go to my relative's house. They have cancer and they need to be saved." You know, and so I got a chance to go over there and led this woman to the Lord, and she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she didn't know how long she's going to live. You know, she's got cancer, but you know, as I was even studying this, I thought about it and I just encouraged her. I said, "Hey, you don't know how much time, you could live another 30 years. Who knows how long you're going to live? Could live another 3 weeks, you know. But the time that you have, you know, give to the Lord. Invest in other people that serve the Lord with all the time that you have. Because, you know, nothing else really matters. It's all going to burn. It's going to, you know, be stolen. It's going to be gone. You know, what matters is what you've done, you know, in regards to eternity." Let's stand as we pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray as we've come to your house, Lord, to just lift up your name. I pray that we no longer waste time. Waste time on ourselves, waste time in Egypt, waste time in things that really don't matter, Lord. I pray that we use the opportunities we have in this life to be able to serve you and live for you. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity I have to be able to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen.